All right, I want to go right back into the newsroom with Ian Ozan. Ian, first of all, thank you for being with us this week. Chris Miller's off, and thank you for being with us. You're doing a great job.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about your description of how hot it is. Mm-hmm. Hot as all get out.
Yes.
Is that the same as hot as hell?
Yes, that's the nicest way I can put it without putting myself in the crossfires of anyone who doesn't like such sorted language.
Right. Hot as all get out.
Hot as all get out, yes.
Or hot AF.
There's that, yes. My personal favorite, when it's humid, a two-can of hairspray kind of day.
Yeah, that's appropriate. Or maybe hot as a witch's...
Wait. This is a family show, fellas.
Why do they say a witch's is that... I mean, why would a witch's be that hot?
It's cold.
Cold is what I
heard.
Cold
is hot. Oh, I thought it was hot as a...
No.
Well, that cold makes sense. Cold makes it hot.
You're mixing metaphors here.
I mean, look, I think some people dressed like witches are hot.
No argument there.
Yeah. Goth look. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm taken. I have to stay out of that one.
All right. Hot as all get out, though.
Yeah, or the Debbie Gibson foolish beat, because this weather doesn't know what it wants to do.
I thought that
was
pretty
cool. Everybody liked that.
Love that segue. You know, now we got the news guy, you know, dealing with our music, too. I like that.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to go pull Electric Youth out of the collection and listen to that tonight. Thanks.
Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it. All right. I'm Scoot on the air, and we continue here. You know, we're talking about just the flare-up that happened, and this is significant. It's important that we talk about the President of the United States and his Defense Secretary just going wild today over the media and calling out people and degrading one of the top journalists, one of the most credible journalists on Fox News, Jennifer Griffin at the Pentagon, very, very credible reporter. And Pete Hegseth is saying she's one of the worst. She's not one of the worst. I mean, he used to work at Fox News. I mean, what, was he trying to maybe get something and she wouldn't give it to him? I don't know what the deal is, but he shouldn't have called her out. And all of this is over this report that came out. And there's a report that Pete Hegseth and President Trump actually understand the report from Intel that maybe they didn't get everything. So we just need to be sure we got everything if that was the goal. So it's wrong for them to call out the media and blame the media. But it's all about the media not agreeing with President Trump. And every single president from the very beginning of this country, every president has had to deal with criticism. And no president has dealt with it worse than Donald Trump. All right. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to calls here in just a moment. Also, the owners of Felix's Oyster Bar in the French Quarter are suing Mayor LaToya Cantrell. At this point, it looks like Troy Henry, and we've had this conversation on the air, is going to take over the trash contract in the French Quarter. $73 million. Troy Henry will make a lot of money with this. And he says he's entitled to it based on how this transpired. I think Sidney Torres should keep it at least until the end of the year, because that's the way it was supposed to go. But I'll tell you this, Troy Henry is going to have to live up to the job that Sidney Torres is doing. And Troy Henry may not like it, but the standard has been set. And if Troy Henry doesn't live up to what's being done right now, his name and the name of his company are not going to be held in high esteem. If he fails to live up to what Sidney Torres is doing, after talking about how he's entitled to the contract and he should get it, after all of that talk, if he doesn't live up to exactly what Sidney Torres is doing, people are going to think less of him and his company. So the standard is set. So I will give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's see if they do it, but they have to do it. They can't slack on this. And Felix's is not the only one that feels this way. There are a lot of people in the French Quarter really happy with the way things are going right now. And I think it's favoritism. That's my opinion. But we'll see what happens as a result of Troy Henry taking over August 1st. And, you know, we'll watch it and we'll see how it goes. And we'll hear from people in the French Quarter. Now, look, if there's one little mistake that's made, you know, you can't complain about that because, I mean, even Sidney Torres makes mistakes. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. So this has to be, you know, a pattern over a period of time if Troy Henry does not live up to the standards. And, you know, I don't know if Troy Henry was planning on spending as much money doing this project as Sidney Torres is, and doing all the things that Sidney Torres is doing. But now Troy Henry is going to have to do that. He's going to have to spend more money, and he's going to have to do the job that, that Sidney Torres is doing right now. All right, let's go to Geraldine in New Orleans. Geraldine, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, and thanks for hanging on.
Hi, how you doing, Stu?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just wondering, well, whether or not we have to go through another 2 years of hearing you griping about someone. We did it. I was hanging with you with Mayor Cantrell. Okay, you got a good reason, I figure. And for 2 years, you know, you chewed on that rag. Now you're putting us on guard about Troy Henry. Are we going to go through this again?
Well, it's up to Troy Henry. I mean, if Troy Henry lives up to the,
you.
If Troy Henry,
it seems like you sticking the dogs on it.
No, if Troy, I'm not. I'm simply saying
yes,
that.
Yes, you are.
Well, look, Geraldine, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm not going to fight with you.
You're right about that, and I got one because I think I earned it too after listening to you for so long, for years.
Well, we're happy to have you on the air, even if we don't agree. I mean, we let you on the air, didn't we?
Yes, you did. Did you? Or did someone else?
No, I give
but look,
the...
I didn't call a debate.
I give the directions.
I just wanted to put my little 2 cents in.
Okay, I control the show. And if you're on the air, it's because we let people who disagree on the air. So I'm just reminding
you
of that.
Okay, well, let's start. Well, you're trying to control our attitude and our thoughts, too, about Troy Henry already.
Well, I simply said, what's wrong with saying that Sidney Torres has set a pretty incredible standard and Troy Henry has to live up to it? What's wrong with that?
Well, obviously, Troy Henry has a legal right to it.
Well,
otherwise,
we
he
can,
wouldn't get it. I don't think
yeah.
so.
Well, we talked about that before. It seems like Sidney Torres deserves it to the end of the year, but that's not the way it turned out. All I'm saying, Geraldine, is that Troy Henry has to live up to the standard that's been set, or people are not going to be happy. Now, I don't live in the French Quarter. I don't have a business in the French Quarter, but those people are going to be vocal if Troy Henry doesn't do what Sidney Torres is doing. That's all I said, Geraldine.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot you didn't say that we can read between the lines.
Well, that's on you. I'm not suggesting anything other than, I mean, if you want to read stuff in between the lines, if you have an agenda, if you have a relationship with Troy Henry, I don't know. I can't worry about that.
You know what you're doing.
You're damn right I know what I'm doing. All right, Geraldine.
You're doggone right I know you know.
I know exactly what I'm doing. Thanks for calling the show. Wow. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm simply, all I said was that, I mean, this is logical. If Sidney Torres is doing a hell of a job, and if Troy Henry is fighting to get that job, then isn't it expected that Troy Henry will do the same job that Sidney Torres is doing? I mean, he's essentially taking over a $73 million contract. It's being done a certain way, and people are happy. If Troy Henry's going to take that over, isn't it logical that he would live up to what what Sidney Torres is doing? Why is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, just talking about expectations. And if he's going to get the contract, in my opinion, a little early, I'm not fighting that. I'm not arguing that. That's been battled. I have my opinion about that, and I expressed it. But if this is going to happen August 1st, then okay, let it happen August 1st. But there are a lot of people in the French Quarter who are going to be watching Troy Henry and paying attention to what he does. And if he lives up to it, that's great. But I haven't said anything negative here about Troy Henry. Just that he has to live up to those expectations. Or people are going to be pissed. That's all. All right. If you've got a comment, Open Heart Jewelers, talking text line, 504-260-1870. A lot of calls to get to. Irvin is in Hammond. Hey, Irvin.
Hey, Scoot.
Yes.
So you and I and many others are going to be biting our lip for the next 3.5 years with Trump. I want to rewind why we got to this point. Both of us are in agreement that neither candidate was presidential material. And I think both of us are in agreement that neither Democrat nor Republican conventions gave us their best and brightest. And I watched both conventions, and they were very vanilla, boring. No issues were really argued about. Neither candidate was challenged at the convention. If you challenged Trump, you know, what was wrong with you? You know, you don't want to make America great again. And if you challenged Harris, oh, you're a racist, or you just don't want a woman to be the president of the United States. So hopefully going forward, the conventions and the people do a better job of vetting the candidate that they put on the ballot. Now, we can pivot this to the state election. The current governor, Landry, was elected with 18.2% of the vote, and he's our governor. And we can pivot down to New Orleans, and all I got to say is Cantrell. I'll give it to you.
Well, look, Irvin, you know, it has been complicated, and I'm convinced that the people who really should be president don't run because they know about the job and they don't want it. But there are some people like Donald Trump, even though he had money, his ego wanted him to be in this position. Now, he didn't have to be. He wasn't forced into this position. And when you choose to be in a position and then you complain about some of the intrinsic things that are involved in that position, like getting criticism or people disagreeing, then it just seems like you're just a very fragile person. Yes, we got here because the best and the brightest don't run or don't get nominated. And what happens in the nominating process is that if you've got a lot of people, let's say you've got a lot of Republicans running, and the vote among Republicans is so split that the only person that gets the most votes is the extremist candidate, because the most extremist candidate is gathering enough of the vote. Because if you added up all the other votes that are spread out among all these other candidates, that would supersede the vote that Donald Trump got. But all those people were not getting the attention. All those people were not, they were getting a small vote. It was the Republican vote was spread out among all of them. And Donald Trump got a concentration of these people who just were more extreme in their views. And the first time Trump ran, you know, I wrote a blog about why I thought Trump might win the election in 2016. And it was because he was the alternative. Hillary Clinton was the status quo candidate. She had a lot of baggage with her. And man, her baggage was packed. And so Donald Trump came along at a time when America wanted a change. And that change happened. But at the end of his term, he wasn't as popular as in the beginning. And that's why he lost in 2020. And a lot of people were tired of what he did. Well, then with Joe Biden, then Donald Trump, because of the primary process, Donald Trump gets the nomination because, again, you've got the Republican vote split among all these other candidates, and then you've got Donald Trump. But Donald Trump still gave a message of hope. And Kamala Harris, not because she's black, not because she's a woman, but because she just didn't have a strong message. One of the things that killed Kamala Harris in the campaign was that interview she did on The View. And she was asked, is there anything that you would do differently than Joe Biden? And she said, no, I can't think of anything. I mean, that was a dagger in the heart. What do you mean? I mean, you wouldn't change anything? That was terrible. And she was a very weak candidate. So a lot of people who didn't like Trump voted for Trump because he was the best option. So here we are. But again, Donald Trump has been convinced, or has convinced himself, that he has this incredible mandate in America, and he doesn't. And there are a lot of people who don't like everything that he does. And the behavior today and the bashing of the media is just a sign that he's off. He's way off when it comes to comprehension of reality. And the reality is not everybody's going to agree with you, and stuff's going to come out, and this little that kind of attitude of, you know, calling names and resorting to that, it shows that Donald Trump is not an intellect. I mean, I got a lot of action on a post on Substack when I talked about Donald Trump uses the same words and the same phrases over and over and over again. And it's because he doesn't have a broad command of the English language. But yet that is reaching a lot of people. So all we do on this show is try to focus on reality and the truth. And when Donald Trump attacks the media, and it's not fair to attack the media, I'm going to call him out. All right, I got to go to Ian with just a couple of quick texts.
Yeah, we'll just be quick here. It's getting to the end of the show, so they're kind of all over the place. Here's one that says, hey, guys, I'm way behind on the show, listening on Odyssey. Thank you very much for that. Forgive me if someone already brought this up. Wouldn't releasing balloons be considered littering? That's already illegal, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is illegal. And we're talking about the governor who vetoed this bill about Mylar balloons, and the legislature apparently voted unanimously on this, but the governor vetoed it. And Billy Nungesser on the show said yesterday it's because he believes that the governor had a problem with the legislator who sponsored the bill,
right,
and the legislator did not go along with something that Landry wanted, and Nungesser believes that that's why he vetoed the bill. And I thought that just makes Jeff Landry a tiny, tiny, tiny person with a little tiny mind. If you're going to veto a bill as retaliation to a legislator, and again, this is what Billy Nungesser said, retaliation to a legislator that didn't agree with you on something, because, again, a unanimous vote from the legislature, and those Mylar balloons go up in the air, and they end up killing animals and causing problems.
I'm going to be so fast here. Here's one that says, Scoot, you got to congratulate the Pelicans on their draft picks. They nailed the draft. Grade A, Scoot.
Yeah, listen, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it looks like they did a great job. So, I'm optimistic about the upcoming season.
We've been talking about liars in the media and in the political sphere. Here's a text that says, it's not a lie if you believe it.
That's true. But when it comes to facts, it could be a lie.
That could be a lie. Two more quick ones. Here's the text that says, The Hill reported 2 days ago that Tucker Carlson says the Murdoch family urged him to run for president against Trump in 2024. Wow. My attempt at humor, the Israeli army is issuing new rifles to their soldiers. They plan on calling them BB guns.
That's funny because Benjamin Netanyahu's nickname is Bibi.
Bibi, I'll leave you with this one. The real problem with this country, the people who know how to run it are cutting hair and driving cabs.
Damn right. And doing talk show. No, I don't ever pretend to know how to run this country. I'm serious. I think I'm one of the few talk show hosts that doesn't think he should be running the country. I don't think I should be running the country, but we can certainly call out the things that need to be talked about. And look, let me say one more thing about Troy Henry. The French Quarter is doing well, and apparently they're really happy. The French Quarter residents and the businesses are happy with the way things are being cleaned up. I hope, if he's going to get the contract, and he's going to get the contract, I hope that Troy Henry does a hell of a job. I hope his company, Henry Consulting, and the company that they hire to do this, I hope they do an unbelievable bang up job, and I hope the quarter stays as clean as it has been. So I'm hoping and positive that he's going to live up to this standard that's been set, and I think it's imperative that he does that. All right, summertime. If you're on hold, hang on. I'm Scoot. We're coming back with more of your comments here on WWL. All right. So coming up, we have to talk about the significance of this day in 2003, I think it was, and then again in 2015. I've got that coming up next, and then we'll get to your calls here on WWL. This is the Pink Pony Club, and I believe this is a reference to the Abbey, which is just a really awesome gay bar in Los Angeles. I was there when I was there just before the first of the year. Really an incredible club, like three dance floors and just a fun place. And they even had male and female dancers in there, like, that you would give money to. All right, look, this is a Gay Pride Month, and today is a very significant day in gay history. On this day in 2003, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Texas's sodomy laws, saying that the laws to ban sodomy were unconstitutional because it violated right to privacy. And a lot of people believe that making sodomy legal, we have the sodomy law still on the books in Louisiana, but it's unconstitutional. So nobody, feel free to do that if you want to, because it's unconstitutional to ban it. So feel free to do that, and nobody in Louisiana can stop you because of the Supreme Court ruling. And if they tried, they would look really, really stupid. Someday we'll go into detail about how this all came about, because how this came about is it's an absurd reaction of a neighbor of a gay couple that was just so upset that he had gay neighbors that he did the wrong thing in turning him in. Anyway, it turned against him because it went to the Supreme Court. And so sodomy was declared legal on this day in 2003. In 2013, the United States versus Windsor, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the provision for the Defense of Marriage Act, which defined marriage as, for federal reasons, a union between only one man and one woman. And the U.S. Supreme Court struck that down on this day in 2013. On this day in 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that state bans on same-sex marriage were unconstitutional. Writing for the majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy said, quote, "No longer may this liberty be denied." And this was just a monumental day. So it's good news, I believe, that people are free to be who they are. All right, let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Patrick in New Orleans. Patrick, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on, Patrick.
No problem. Thank you, Stu. Hey, I just wanted to bring up that Tulsi Gabbard, the Director of National Security,
yeah,
captain member, brought up on March 25th in front of Congress that Iran did not restart their nuclear program.
Right.
Now, the head of national security, you know, all that intelligence comes from Israel and other countries. So that's what she said. Trump pretty much called it a liar. On June 13th, Israel starts bombing Iran. Iran comes back with missiles, and they penetrate the Iron Dome. Then Iran starts launching hypersonic missiles, causing damage. Then the United States comes back and bombs three sites. So who's lying? People really need to think about this stuff.
Yeah.
If your head of national security is incompetent, she needs to be replaced.
Well, exactly. Isn't it interesting that Donald Trump seems to disagree with a lot of people that he said were experts and should be in these positions, but he totally disagrees with them?
Stu, you know what hurts in all of this? It's the poor and the middle class that go off to fight wars.
Yep.
And in MAGA ran as America First, no more wars, which I totally agree with. So you can call me MAGA. And we're going to start this up to send poor kids out and middle class kids out to fight wars that the rich won't, while the rich refuse to pay taxes in America by hiring, you know, CPAs, going around tax, paying their taxes and things like that. You know, at some point, this is going to collide. And we seriously have a problem in this country.
Oh, we have more than one.
Look, man, I think I join everybody in saying I'm sick of being lied to.
Yeah.
And all you do is have to take those three things. Your national security secretary comes out and says that Iran wasn't trying to build a nuclear weapon. Israel, which we fund, you know, at some point, Israel needs to be slapped down, because I know I don't want my neighbor's kids going off to fight that war. That's a tinderbox.
So is it true that Donald Trump may have been affected by a report he saw on CNN calling the Israeli military action genius, and he couldn't resist but want to be involved in that so he could be called a genius too? Is that when all of this started to develop?
Scoot, the guy's not that smart, and he's a liar, and he's a con man. And people got con. And wake up.
Patrick,
your show is important. Thank you, because the more of us that speak out, and as far as I got across the lake, there are 340 million Americans. 140 million voted in the last election.
No.
That's not a mandate.
No, you're right. Patrick, listen, but if you think this show's important, I'm going to tell you that you're important, too. And people like you are important, too, because you need to voice your opinions as well. And I hear that a lot. And when I'm in public and somebody comes up to me, sometimes people actually kind of like want to whisper to me like, hey, Scoot, I just want you to know your show's really, really important. And we need you on the air. We need you to talk about these things. So, Patrick, it also takes people like you to call in and voice your opinion. And I appreciate you listening, and I'm glad you called. All right, Patrick, thanks. Let's go to Jeff on the North Shore. Jeff, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. It just so happens my comment is sort of piggybacking on that last caller.
Okay. It's okay.
All in very much. As you probably know, I enjoy listening, gaining information and being entertained. But I broke this down a couple of months ago, I think, and I'm not going to break it down again. I'm going to just be short and to the point, if you don't mind. I consider myself in the overwhelming majority of your audience. And I can't speak for everybody, but I think we believe that we listen to this show for accurate reporting, well-informed, intelligent opinions, as well as entertainment. And that's what I enjoy about this show. So if you have callers or calling in, spinning and putting misinformation on you, and you let that go by, and that's a disservice to the audience like myself and many, many others who listen to this show for that reason. So I consider you to be like a hockey goalie. You're going to block anything that comes in there that's false.
I'm going to try.
And it's a credit to you for helping us know that that's what we're looking for.
Well, Jeff, again, I'm going to say to you what I said to Patrick. It's important for you and Patrick and people who feel this way to speak out, because this part of America has not been speaking out. And in the last 5 months, this part of America has become much more vocal. And I think they're concerned about the future. And we try to sort out the truth on this show and call out the lies and the deception and misinformation.
Well, Scoot, I'm going to leave you with this. I don't call in much, but when that thorn gets pushed into my side deeper and deeper, I feel compelled to make a call on that. I hope you just continue to do what you do. I know you're not going to change. And if you don't mind, can I give a shout out to someone?
Sure.
I'd like to shout out to Gregory. I kind of miss him. Maybe I've missed his calls. I really enjoy his calls coming in, and I'd also like to give a big shout out to Janice.
Okay.
Young lady, haven't heard from you in a while. You need to bring it. And Scoot, you have a wonderful day.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate the call, and thanks for the kind words. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with more of your comments. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1999, Pearl Jam scored their biggest Hot 100 hit. It reached number 2 on the Hot 100 chart. Last Kiss. It was a cover of a song from the 60s that I remember hearing on my little transistor radio when I was like a preteen in Metairie growing up. Last Kiss, it was about this guy who, this girlfriend dies, and he was driving the car, and they get in a wreck, and she dies, and he wants to be good so he can get to heaven to see his girlfriend who died. I mean, it's a tragically sad song. And of all the songs that Pearl Jam did, I can't believe that this was their biggest rated song. Number 2 on the Hot 100 chart, Last Kiss. To me, this is the worst thing they did. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Man, the song, I mean, Daughter, Alive, Even Flow, and this is the song that is the highest rated by Pearl Jam?
We take a break, please?
Yeah, I know. It's tragic, man. The guy wants to lead a good life so he can get to heaven to see his girlfriend. All right, we'll be right back on WWL. This is the Pearl Jam song that should have been number 2, not Last Kiss. But I guess this was a little too grungy for the mass audience, and they like that Last Kiss song. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you were with us. There's an article on our website, Why Are Louisiana Roads, Why the Conditions So Uniquely Poor? Because, yeah, it's bad. Well, the article says that the Mississippi River created a certain situation, and we're not blessed with a good bedrock. And then you've got the pavement on top of that. The pavement has to have a good bed to sit on, and there's not a good bed here. And then the soil tables are a factor in deteriorating roads, and then the hot temperatures and the rain and all of that, and the roads buckle. So we're really kind of screwed here. But, you know, it's so nice when I go back to Portland and just you can drive down the street and it doesn't beat up your car. And, I mean, I love my car and I hate the fact that it gets, you know, when you hit a bump, bang, you know, it jars your car and I feel like it's beating up my car and I hate it. But, you know, there's not much we can do about it. Try to get around it. All right, let's go to Ken in New Orleans. Hey, Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Scoot. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being the voice of reason.
Thank you.
When there is very little. I don't always agree with you, maybe about 80% of the time.
That's
sometimes
okay.
We don't agree, but I would say this on two fronts. One, you're right, people are going to be pissed in the quarters, because here's the thing. The contract doesn't call for washing the street. Pressure washing, it doesn't call for that. That's not what's in it. Anybody wants to read it, it's available. Look it up and see what the scope of work is. So they're going to be unhappy. What we should remember is that Sidney Torres came in third. He was $3 million over everybody else's bid. Now, you want what you have? You can rebid that, and then you're going to get a bid protest because nobody else has all the various equipment because Sidney built his business based upon the quarter contract after the storm. So there'll be little to no competition and somebody's going to cry foul. And then there's the third thing that you can do with this, which is you can have a special assessment for the people in the quarters to add to the money that's already being paid to the current contract. And then figure out, hopefully, there won't be too many protests, and you'll get by that, and eventually it works out. But in terms of, can the mayor terminate the contract? Yes, because there was an emergency, because everything hadn't been worked out. We don't have to like it. We don't have to like a lot of stuff. But, I mean, there's nothing untoward about it in terms of what the legalities are and what the rules call for. We may just not like the outcome because everybody wants what they got. Who wants less? Even if it is what you're supposed to be getting. Nobody wants less.
And Ken, what you're talking about, you know, reminds me of the discussion that we had on the show about all of that. And it seemed that Sidney Torres went above and beyond and did some things that he didn't have to do. But it seems like this sets a really high standard for Troy Henry to come in and do the job because he's going to be judged, whether this is fair or not, he's going to be judged on the job that's done compared to the job that Sidney did.
Oh, no two ways about it. I mean, I think that's par for the course. Like I just said, people want what they already got. Nobody wants to lose anything. How many folks, if you tell them you're going to lose something, are you willing to take a shot and lose half of what you got to get a little bit more? Most people are going to say, no, I don't think I want to take that proposition up.
Yeah.
One. Two, in terms of Trump, you had two callers. You had one caller, I can't remember his name. He was just reeling off the facts about various things. And then the next guy came in and said, well, you know, we were tired of being lied to. This is how MAGA started on the Tea Party, so forth, so on. You heard the difference of the two people. You know what's really driving all of this? People are frustrated, for one, and I heard that from the gentleman. The other part is they really understand very little about how things work. So your program is important in the sense that you get to tell people, hey, here's what's really going on, whether you like it or not. But people's raw emotions, anger, and want and thirst to take action, it is right now endangering the country in ways we wouldn't think. And I'm right of center. I will tell you outright. And everybody who knows me will tell you that about me. But I do believe in the rule of law. I believe in people being civil in the process, because you either have rules or you don't have rules. Take your pick.
Yep, no, that's true.
Pick.
Ken, I really appreciate the call, and thanks for being with us. And again, just the calls that we're getting recently on the show have just been really amazing and reassuring. Let's go to New Orleans East. Raymond, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, first-time caller.
First-time caller? But whoa, yeah. Wait a minute, man. We got to give you a little special action here.
Okay.
A little special action for a first-time caller. So you've been listening, and today's the day. Yeah. The first time you're calling in, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what Ken said about the French Quarter situation. I do believe, though, that, Henry's a smart, savvy businessman, and I think he knows that people are going to expect, pretty much the same type of a scenario as they were getting, with Chino Torres. I think he's going to find a way to still have it fresh and clean. So we'll see. As you said, only time will tell. Yeah. But I think the guy knows that.
I hope so. I'm pulling for him. I mean, I am, because if he's got the contract, the bottom line is, the quarter needs to be clean.
Sidney's been
doing a great job. And I applaud Sidney for the job he's doing. I think he's kind of getting screwed a little bit in this, and I think it's all about politics. But that's something that we get used to. I hope that ends August the 11th when we get rid of this mayor and get a new mayor. But, Troy Henry, I think, needs to live up to what's being done if he wants to, if he wants to be compared to being the best.
As you mentioned about the mayor, one of the things that, here in New Orleans East that, we're frustrated about is the way the mayor's handled things. When the other trash guys were, taking care of the city, they had a lot of things that were going against them. Of course, the pandemic happened and everything went upside down, and the city really never gave those guys a chance to recuperate from that. And, we were at a point where, even when Landry was mayor, the IG ended up taking a look at what they were doing, found out that these guys were doing even more than they were supposed to. And here in the East, we were getting two times a week service. And, man, I mean, these guys, Sidney Torres takes over. Not only does he get twice as much money, but then he cuts the service in half, where we're only getting one time a week pickup. And it's just a crazy situation. We know that the mayor, had odds against these guys because they voted for her opponent, when she ran the first time. And it just was a mess. And now, the people that live in these areas are all suffering the brunt of what's going on. Well, and right now, we're just at a point where we don't know what's going on. No. And hopefully, the new mayor will change things.
Yeah, that's a shame because New Orleans has been treated like a stepchild. New Orleans East has been treated like a stepchild by the city for a long time. And I hope that changes. All right, I got to get to a break here. On the SOTA calendar on this day in 1977, Elvis Presley, here it is, June 26th, Elvis Presley performed his last concert at Indianapolis. He died August 16th. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk with Mike and Steve coming up next. Thanks to everybody involved in the show. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. And really, thank you. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.